From trucker talk to tales from the road and everything in between, it's time for Truck Drivers Talking Trash. Now your hosts, Cross, the Lady, and Sheldon.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Truck Drivers Talking Trash. We have a lot to get into. We had a busy weekend. We have a special guest, Prince Van Dyke. I'm trying to make sure he's going to be on tonight. Man, we have a lot to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, man, what a weekend. Lady, how was your weekend?
My weekend was nice. I had some unforeseen tragedy, and so I dealt with that. But my Valentine's was lovely. It's always nice to treat yourself, you know, really good in those moments where they label those holidays where you don't have an actual lover. But I really do understand that love is always in the air.
Okay, good. That's a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone number to the show is 203-333-9422. Truck Drivers Talking Trash. Like I said, we got a lot to get into. The biggest thing that I want to talk about is the NCAA basketball with the young lady. What's that young lady from Iowa? Christian, she's the NCAA females, tops female scorer. She broke a record this weekend.
Oh yeah.
She came out and showed out against my school, Michigan. Oh man, she came out and just bust us. Oh man, she shot a half court three point. Oh man, she shot a half court three pointer.
Oh, good for her. Oh man, good just, for her.
Go ahead, Iowa Hawkeyes. So anyway, that happened, and then the atrocity of the All-Star game. Oh my God. The atrocity. No defense. Oh, why do you even call it an All-Star game? Just call it a game. You know, the All-Stars don't even come and show out. Don't even play defense. You know, you got 7-footers shooting 3-point. Shooting 3-pointers. Townsend's what? 6'11", 7 feet?
Wow.
Shooting 3-point. The game was just terrible.
Not terrible.
Oh, man. I was so disappointed. Nobody played no defense.
Did you bet on the game?
That atrocity, that headache, that embarrassment.
Not
of
monstrosity.
Athletes. It's embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to athletes around the world.
Oh, God. That's deep.
Then we got to talk about politics. Oh, man, that young lady in Georgia, boy, all her business got aired out. Danny Willis. Ooh, you talk about getting your
she's
business.
She's a mean one.
She held it herself now. I'm going to tell you something. You know, she handed herself, but man, what a way to. You got one of the biggest cases in America's history. Why would you mess with your worker? All these men out here. Don't they say don't play where you eat at?
Ain't that
a saying?
Don't use the bathroom in your own backyard.
Oh,
my God.
Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to get into. A lot of things are just disappointing and upsetting. Mm-hmm. I just hope that we kick her off the case. You know, that's her personal life.
Yeah.
They're consenting adults, so let's just...
The record seems a little filthy, but, you know, I digress.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then Donald Trump. Oh, man, he's another train wreck.
I just don't want you to be so frustrated.
How do you praise a dictator? How do the GOP support you? That's trade. That's you're an American. We are a free country. Good luck trying to turn this into.
We appear to be a free country.
Check this out. Good luck trying to turn this into a dictatorship. Good luck.
Listen, money talks.
Oh man, listen. This guy nothing to do with money. People
loud.
That got to come out and vote. People, mm-hmm. come out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. Just come out and vote. All right? It just takes a few minutes out of your time. Vote. I don't care who you vote for. Just vote. All right? Stand up for something or you'll fall for anything.
What are some of your political concerns?
Well, my biggest concern is freedom. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump talked about he want to be a dictator. Listen to me. I'm a father. I was born and raised in this country. I don't know no other country but this country. I pay my taxes in this country.
Yeah.
All right? my children are born in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want my grandchildren who are born in this country to go through a dictatorship. I don't want, listen to me. The man ain't talking crazy. The man is acting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he got a lot of indictments. Hey, that's his own doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's his own doing. But as an American, as a full-fledged blood American,
mm-hmm.
we free. Americans don't play that. All right, we kick dictators in the butt. That's what we do.
Mm.
All right, everybody's free because of us. Hard work, blood, sweat, and tears.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we going to try to take us back? Where they do that at? This is 2024. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm fired up, but like hold up.
Talking trash.
Hold. President Obama said it best. You fired up? Vote. Vote. All right? Hey, listen. Vote. I'm fired up. I can't wait.
Are you a Democrat?
Oh, I'm independent.
Independent?
I'm independent. Okay. Oh, man.
Okay. So you're straddling the fence.
No.
Okay.
No.
Talk to me.
I'm going to give you a good example.
Go ahead.
Liz Cheney, mm-hmm. I will vote for Liz Cheney. Even though her policies are not what I like, but the woman stands up for the country.
Okay.
All right? Her father was the vice president. He wasn't a bad vice president.
Okay.
Even though he shot a judge, but hey, that's here and there. But the man, he was a good vice president. He put us in wars. Yeah. He's an oil tycoon.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush fell for the yoke of dope. Okay. Bottom line, George Bush fell for it. But guess what? Guess what?
Yes.
When they went there, they did what they had to do. But the problem is they didn't know how to take us out.
Mm.
And that's what I see with Israel about to have that same problem. They're going to get in too deep. And they don't have an exit strategy, excuse mm-hmm. me. They don't have an off-ramp.
Yep.
Don't be stuck right there. All right? If you haven't learned nothing from us, learn from our mistakes.
Well, do you think that has a lot to do with maybe the age requirement? Do you think it should be a maximum age requirement on presidency?
No.
You don't think at some point you kind of lose it a little?
No. Listen, you're going
to
get
to old. Me.
Being old brings two things for most folks. Being old brings wisdom,
mm-hmm.
experience,
mm-hmm.
and how to carry yourself, conduct yourself. You believe in something.
That falls inside the wisdom to know like how to flow.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I feel like you develop your integrity as you get older and your morale stiffens, your boundary stiffens. But to lead, I don't believe everybody has leadership qualities.
What Joe Biden has more than anybody, 30 years in the Senate. He started out during the cocaine stage, the crack stage,
mm-hmm.
the Renaissance, whatever you want to call it. Black folks were there.
Okay.
When the crack got out of hand and black folks wanted something done, Bill Clinton was president. I remember. My mother, my aunts and uncles, all these black homeowners,
yep.
Puerto Rican homeowners,
mm-hmm.
we got to do something about this crime. We got to lock these boys up. Yeah. They're shooting up the neighborhood. Oh, can't even walk the street. So when they passed those bills to lock folks up, that's what people wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden voted on that bill. That's what folks wanted. But it was extreme in the South, as usual. One piece of crack get you 10 years, 15 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Now, it's not about mm-hmm. baking soda. Like they went and made something different.
Yeah.
But like I said, everything was to the extreme. Now that we have this somewhat under control, we got these new laws passed for black folks. Marijuana's legal. People getting released on marijuana. Hey, that's a start. That's a start. But you ain't going to get everything you want. You give a little, you get a little.
Yeah, definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Truck Drivers Talking Trash Show. The phone number to the show is 203-333-9422. You got me, Lady, and Sheldon.
Hello.
Yeah, so like I was saying, we're still trying to find out if Mr. Prince Dykes.
I'm sure.
Okay. Know what? Mr. Dykes is no show tonight. We have some kind of a schedule conflict. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
We got this under control.
Of course.
Welcome back, Sheldon.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Put your headset on, young man. So what's going on in the entertainment world, lady?
So I had a few things up my sleeve as far as that, but one of them that is kind of like egging me out a little is the small controversy over Beyonce and crossing into country music. I guess they probably figure she's got everything that she needs on lock, and you know, it's a hard one sometimes. But I just feel like music is so versatile, and it's such a versatile language. Why not exceed? Go ahead.
The thing, I have no problem with her going to country music.
Mm-hmm.
She can sing. She has talent.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Very sultry voice as well for the crossover, but go ahead.
Yeah, but the Eagles did it.
Mm.
Oh, Eagles went, I think, one of the first rock bands to do country, was on the charts at that. Soul, country.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles been around forever, and they still touring. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
I think they might want to... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you good.
I think they might just want her to stay in her genre. See, a lot of that goes on, and you know where it goes on at. And that, you know, there was... Bobby Bones basically was saying, like, he has no doubt that her claims to that genre are real because it is a country song. And it's not, you know, yeah, she's an R&B artist, but is she R&B artist or is she just an artist?
She's an artist.
Yeah.
Just listen to me. People who have a problem with it,
mm-hmm.
if the song is a good song, it's timeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's timeless.
Most of her music is.
You never lose a great song. Never.
Maybe they're having a problem with the title, Texas Hold'em, you know? It's Beyonce. She's going to go big or go home, you know?
Well, it is a Texas song, so everything in Texas is big, you know? Everything is big in Texas.
Listen. And she always does it big. Listen, if you want to call in and you have any, you know, feedback on that controversy, call us up. Let us know how y'all feel about it. I personally think she could do no wrong. She's one of my favorite artists outside of some of my older artists that I love. And speaking of older artists, there was a Motown tribute. At the casino, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was awesome. I got to watch it through a friend's live. I wasn't there personally, but I got to see a couple little snippets and some of my favorite joints.
Oh, man, listen. Motown, man, there's nothing you can say about Motown. If anybody grew up in a black household, even a white household.
It's feel good.
Oh, man, listen to me. The Temptations, man, please. All right? Come on,
listen.
Smokey Robinson. Come on now.
Ain't no mountain high.
Oh, the Four Tops.
Ain't no valley.
I hear you, Rich. The Four Tops. I know that's
love
right.
The Four Tops. Absolutely.
Oh, man, listen.
Marvin Gaye is still my favorite. Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, but see, that's Philadelphia.
Even
sound
the younger
machine.
People.
I'm giving a history lesson.
Talk to me.
That's Philadelphia Sound Machine right there. When you talk about some great songs.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, is that Gamble and Huff, if I'm not mistaken, from the Philadelphia Sound Machine?
Mm.
Ooh, man, they wrote some classics from the OJs, Spinners, to Teddy Pendergrass, Mr. Loverman himself, the original.
Turn out the lights.
What you know about turning off the lights, young lady?
I think the younger people even know that song, because that one crosses some border.
These young folks don't know nothing about love music, because if they knew anything about love music, they wouldn't act the way they act. Okay.
Well, I beg to differ, but you know, you're entitled to your opinion. You know,
I
don't think the music is it's influential. Let's be clear; it puts out messages. However, in the younger generation, I feel like the parents have a lot of power, but also they're literally just giving the people what the people want.
And what's that? That's not no love.
Listen,
they want soulful artist. Hold on,
go ahead.
Hold on. Oh, check them aside. You're younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you do the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Name me one young 25-year-old who has a nice love song out right now that you could play with your woman or man?
Oh, Coco Jones is tearing them up right now. Her. Oh, it's the women artist. You want me to give you a man artist?
No, please.
Okay.
I don't want to be upset.
Okay. Okay. Because listen, I could listen.
The
listen
last
now.
Young group. Listen, this is sad. The last mm-hmm. young group that I like. What was that? 5 o'clock in the morning. What's that young group? Sheldon. Are you there?
I'm just looking it up.
All right. It's called. I think it's. Pretty Ricky. Yeah.
Pretty the song Ricky. Was Pretty Ricky?
No. The song was Hotline.
Okay.
Them young boys, boy. Woo. Man, them young boys put something on that.
Wait, Hotline? Hotline Bling or Hotline?
No, Hotline.
Okay.
Pretty Ricky. What was that hit song they had for me, Sheldon? Please find that for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I just feel like the ladies are killing it right now. I was simply thinking the other day, like, a lot of the artists that timed out, I feel like they only timed out because they were maybe before their time, like Jeanne. And because Sending My Love is my family's theme song. I play that in the kitchen. They all come down. And go ahead, Sheldon.
On the Hotline by Pretty Ricky.
Yes.
On the Hotline.
On the Hotline.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that was a good, that
hey,
was
Rich,
a good one. That
hey,
was
Rich. A good one. Hey, Rich, can you find that for me on the Hotline? By Pretty Ricky. Can you find that for me?
So you remember Jeanne.
Take your time.
They send Sending My Love. And when I listen to some of their music, Crush, and some of their songs that didn't hit the charts, I'm just like, they were before their time. Because they came out when I was young. We didn't even understand that kind of music. And of course, we got Sade and Anita Baker and some of the artists that kind of cross into that. But we had no idea what we were really singing.
Oh, but one thing about Jeanne, that group right there, they were hip hop and soulful.
Mm-hmm.
They have voices.
Yeah.
If everybody has seen that movie, Temptations, voices.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the voices.
Yes.
You have to have voices.
Yes.
You know,
have
and,
a voice.
And she definitely had that. And but 90s were just magical.
Yeah.
Because, you know, California, I think you had that group Jade and a bunch of other girl groups. Oh, mm-hmm. My favorite group out of Nevada, 702.
Oh, I love 702. Oh, man. 808 was one of my favorites.
Ooh, come on now.
What, remember Nivea, Laundromat?
Ooh, no. Who sings I Have Nothing But My T-Shirt and My Panties On? Who sung that
t-shirt
song?
T-shirt.
The T-Shirt and My Panties. Mm-hmm. Who sung that song, mm-hmm. Shelly? Can you find that?
Mm-hmm.
Adina Howard sung that, huh? Oh, she had another one too.
Yeah, she was straight out the bricks.
Oh man, listen.
I think now, like, you know, the music is definitely evolving, if so to speak. But we're, you know, the artists aren't even in control. The money is, and it's kind of sad. I think I'll leave it off with that.
Well, I won't say money. It's a lot to do with the public.
It has everything to do with the money. Darren, because the people that control the money control the music.
Nah.
Unless you're an independent artist, and there goes that word again, independent.
Oh, well, then again, don't forget the technology changed everything.
Yeah.
I was watching a documentary of hip hop.
Okay.
And a lot of these rappers started out, you don't remember this probably, cassette tapes.
Oh, I remember cassette tapes.
So that right there changed. And I think the two most independent producers out there who mm-hmm. have the record label, two independent record labels, mm-hmm. there's No Limit and Cash Money.
Yeah, you know, very big ones.
And they both out of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't seen nobody blow up like that. Mm-hmm. No Limit went into sports, okay? I don't know if he's still in sports, but they went into sports.
Something to think about. Wow. Right.
And Cash Money, they're still going. They're going on 20 years strong now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm thinking of independent record labels. I don't know nobody else after those two. That's
something. That's something to look up, you know, for another time, too. But, yeah,
you definitely
got to
look that up.
That's wild.
Because I know, Memphis, too. They have another big scene down there in music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Memphis always has something good about music that sticks down there. And the only tragedy is that Martin Luther King was killed in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, okay.
I know. I was very excited about...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. I think Mr. Dykes is going to pull through. Hold on. But I think Mr. Prince Dykes is going to pull through.
Oh, nice. That would be awesome. I'm excited to talk with him.
All right. It looks like Mr. Prince Dykes is going to join our show in a little while. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Truck Driver Choking Trash Show. If you could please call the show at number 203-333-9422. Lady Sheldon Cross.
Well, we're just here to talk
all
a little
right.
trash.
You put them through anytime you get ready. Mr. Dykes?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good
Hello.
Evening, Mr. Dykes. Thank you for tuning in to Truck Drivers Talking Trash Show. Thank you so much, young man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, different. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's not. Hey, listen. Listen to your portfolio. Listen to your portfolio. Reading it, man, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
You sat down and had dinner with Warren Buffett. You definitely mean I need to talk to.
For sure.
So,
first of all,
I'm going to congratulate you on your books. Even wrote a book with Terrell Davis. You have your MBA. You have an RIA. Gentlemen, you're in Boulder, Colorado. You're from Georgia. Man, listen, talk to me. Listen, brother, tell me about this journey in finance that you are partaking in.
Yes, I had a very untraditional path. You would say into a finance role from Waynesboro, Georgia, small town in Georgia. And I did 20 years in the Navy. I retired out of the Navy. I did 20 years. And my last stop was here in Denver, Colorado. Married with a wife and son. And my path started, I was a SK they used to have back in the day, storekeeper, or now they call them logistics specialist on submarines. And
nice.
That was my start in finance, and went off and got my associate's, bachelor's, MBA, and all my different licenses and designators, and started out on, I think it was Facebook, or I think it started with Facebook, then went to YouTube and Instagram, and just kind of went from there.
Oh, wow, man. You put in the work. Now, your book that you wrote with Terrell Davis, because I'm curious, because, I'm not a big Georgia fan. I'm a Michigan man, but I love my SEC football. I love my SEC football. And watching him play for Georgia, he didn't win a national he didn't win a national title at Georgia, but he did go to Denver and win two Super Bowls. What was it like working with that gentleman?
Man, it was definitely a delightful thing. Everything was organic. It was nothing forced. When I got stationed here in Denver, we met together, and at the time, I just wanted him to come on to my podcast, and he said, hey, you know what? I like the first two books you wrote. I want to be a part of this, you know? And, I thought he was joking at the time, and I was like, okay, I just want to get a picture with you, you know, just like you said, I'm going to go on up. And you went that back-to-back with John Elway and Shannon Sharpe and Rod Smith, McCaffrey, all them guys, doing that dynasty built. They got those two Super Bowls back-to-back. And, he was a man of his word, reached out to me, and we got it done. And we actually wrote one back in, I think it was like 19. We put out one. He was in my third book in 19. And we have a fourth one coming out in April. So he's part of. So I've written four books, and he's a part of the third one, and now he's doing it again and being a part of the fourth one. So that was it's been pretty cool, especially being here in Denver, Colorado. You know, in a place he made famous with his running styles, you know him, you know, back in the day. So it's been great to be a part of.
Okay, we have a question for you. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Mr. Dykes, can you tell us about your books and where people could find them, the listeners?
Oh, yeah. You know, we wrote a children's book named behind my son. My son's name is Wesley. He's 12 years old today. I started out about 10
Happy
years
birthday,
ago.
Wesley.
Happy birthday, Wesley.
Not today. I mean, like, as of today.
Oh, as of today, he's 12. Look, we were on it. We're going to send them birthday wishes.
Keep it. It's an early birthday present from the Truck Driver Talking Trash show.
The children's book line is definitely, definitely interesting.
Yeah, his name is Wesley, and I started out, the first one came out in 2014, wrote it in 2014 and got published in 2015. His name is Wesley, so it's Wesley Learns to Invest, then it was Wesley Learns About Credit, then Wesley Learns About Insurance, then Wesley Learns About Real Estate, comes out in, April 12th during Financial Literacy Month. And from that, you know, I created a foundation called a Global Children Financial Literacy Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And through those books, we turn kids to first-time shareholders of stocks.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's, you know, turned up into a foundation. And with the RA, I launched my own firm in 2021 while I was in the military. Once I retired, I took it full force and took it serious. And, you know, like you speak about Warren Buffett and stuff like that. I was in the military, traveling around the world, listening to different people, reading all type of books, and from New York Stock Exchange to Omaha and all the good stuff, and decided to launch my own firm. So I launched my own firm, and, you know, we just crossed over our first million. So, yeah, that's me.
What's the name of your firm?
Royal Financial Investment Group. We are a RIA registered in the state of Colorado and Georgia.
Okay. Hold on, we have another question for you. Go ahead, lady.
It's a personal question, but why do you think that financial literacy isn't required in schools?
You look at the system of financial literacy in America itself, everything is lineage-based.
Mm.
Like, by lineage-based, it's like you get lucky enough and your mom and dad and uncle and grandparents teach you, good for you. If you don't, then sucks to be you. That's how the world works, right? And that's how America works.
Absolutely. And I think it has a lot to do with the worker mentality of, you know, creating workers and not thinkers and financially literate children. But I think your books are amazing for that. And I will be purchasing everyone. I have two young sons still, 15 and 11. And they will be reading your books. And that, I think that really piqued my interest when I saw that when I was doing my research for you to have you on the show. And that was so awesome. Second question was that I saw that you created a day for the children. Was that something you created, the National Children's Financial Literacy Day? Or is that something on March 16th?
Man, look at y'all. Y'all did y'all research. Y'all prepared.
Listen, we were ready for you. There's much respect on these microphones.
Hey, listen to me. Mr. Dykes, let me tell you something to you.
Definitely.
It's appreciation, definitely.
Hey, Mr. Dykes, I'm going to tell you something. We're a new show. We're young. We're like a flower. We need water and sunshine so we can grow.
Absolutely.
So if we don't do our homework, we can't grow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen, my mom always say, if you stay ready, you don't got to get ready.
You know, I don't been on a couple of interviews, and some people be like, oh, so you're in Colorado, huh?
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you lived in Boulder.
Huh?
I thought you lived in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, I'm in the Denver area. Boulder's a little bit north. You know, I start with Dion, and you know, it's a little 30 minutes north. Same pot for the most part.
On these earwaves, on these earwaves, I do not want my listeners to be misled.
Absolutely.
It's all about facts.
Okay. Absolutely,
it's all about facts here.
Absolutely. You know, and we're going to talk a little bit of trash.
Oh, we'll try to.
Because we're talking money trash right now.
Oh, he's from Georgia. Hey. I know he talks some trash.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, I heard you do an interview. You're doing much better than the Falcons. That's what you said in the interview.
y'all want to hear a little cool story about
yeah,
the thoughts?
Yeah, go ahead.
The varsity team did not tell y'all about the thoughts. So what ended up happening, March 16th is Wesley's birthday,
mm-hmm.
right? And in my hometown in Georgia, from a small town called Waynesboro, Georgia, and at the time, the then mayor was excited about everything I was doing, that I left home, and he decided to make my son's birthday Children's Financial Literacy Day in my hometown.
That wow. is so that's dope. That is so dope.
Yeah.
That's so dope. That's a lot
every
of black boy joy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. So every year I go back home, and at least in the spring, if I can't make it in that March 16th exact day, something around there, I go back home and we give out books and stocks to kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a beautiful, that's a blessing. Hey, Rich, can I get a round of applause for that? Can we get a round of applause for that?
Hold on. I love that. That makes me, that round of applause, but that makes me feel really, really nice. All right, so one more quick question from the lady, and then I'll sit back and let the gentleman talk.
mm-hmm.
Should they have trades for Justin Fields?
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Let me give you a So I grew up South of San, right? You know, coming from the Bird era, all mm-hmm. of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's 2014, I was in Phoenix, Arizona at the Super Bowl when it was the Seahawks versus the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one Russell Wilson threw the infamous interception. And what happened was, while leaving the night before the Super Bowl, I was downtown Phoenix. And I ran across Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank is the owner of the Falcons, right?
Okay.
So Arthur Blank is like, oh, man, I had all my Falcons gear on. Right? And Ryan went to Arthur Blank. Oh, Mr. Blank, it's night. I went to security first. I said, it's Arthur Blank. They're like, yeah. I said, okay, Arthur Blank, it's nice meeting you. Can I get a picture with you? You know, it'd be nice running to. This is when the Falcons, we sucked back in 2014, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
So I'm like, he'll be happy just to see a Falcons fan in, you know, Arizona, right? Sometimes hard to find a Falcons fan in Georgia. So I went to say, hey, Mr. Blank, nice to meet you. You know, he was like, you know, I'm really trying to get to my car right now. But yeah, thanks for being a fan.
No.
I'm like, dude, I'm in my Falcons there. We're at the Super Bowl. We suck, but hey, I'm still rocking there. This is my home state, all of the good stuff like that, right? So, you know, didn't feel too well, right? I leave, come to Denver, Colorado. I come to Denver. I hated the Broncos because the Broncos beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yep.
That Dirty Bird era, this is when they went back to back. I run across Rod Smith. He was the wide receiver for that team. Steve Atwater, who just went into the Hall of Fame. He was a safety for that team. Terrell Davis, John Elway, Ed McCaffrey, you know, the father of DMC. Christian McCaffrey with the 49. I ran into all these guys, right?
Wow.
Guys embraced me. Ran into the owner of the Broncos. They embrace me, take me, take me under their wing, get behind what I'm doing, support me, and I got converted, man. So I dropped my Falcons ways years ago, and I've been on the Broncos train for at least about the last 5 years.
That's good support. Let me tell you something. It goes a long way.
At least you got a better chance to go to the Super Bowl with the Broncos than you do with the Falcons.
I know nothing.
I'm like, man, I met this dude. I said, he didn't have time for a picture, but y'all got time to help me out what I'm doing, get inside of my books, help me launch it at the Broncos Boys and Girls Club. Here I got TD, two-time Super Bowl Hall of Famers collaborating with me to help me. I was like, man, they didn't have time to give me a picture on the street back then. But here you guys are helping me like this.
That's wild.
Here I was.
That's one of those commendable stories.
They helped me with my podcast, with guests on my show, all that good stuff. So how can I not switch over?
Hey, did Wesley ever get to sit down with Warren Buffett?
Wesley, no, this was a funny, fun fact. I met Warren in 19, and we had all these good things. Hey, next year we're going to do this and do that and do that. So Warren actually put me in his book about his life, right?
Wow.
And, let me just call it Life and Times of Warren Buffett or something like that. And he really enjoyed the books, take me to dinner with him and all of this stuff. And he's like, hey, next year I want to meet you and Wesley and the family. Okay, cool. So, you know, if it's 19, the next year is 2020.
COVID.
What happened in 2020?
COVID.
Master code. Right. The master key code. The master key code.
COVID came through, took us by the, grabbed the country by the throat. And that was the first time they didn't have a meeting for like 2-3 years after that.
I know.
I know I'm a little slow.
I was just thinking about that story he told about how they didn't have time for him. And I was just thinking, well, do you think the Broncos should trade for Justin Fields?
Oh, yeah, they probably would now. The Broncos always trying to win. Even though we kind of put out, we was a little bit overzealous with Russell. We was a little bit overzealous with Russell, and Russell, I think, went a little bit far, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we got a little bit too happy with the whole Russell trade and put up too much and did too much. And that kind of hurt ourselves. So, yeah, I definitely think Russell is gone. They'll take anybody right about now. You know, we ain't got too much cap space. We gave away all our draft picks, you know. So,
sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it ain't, you know, in the Bronco land, ain't too many happy people.
Something I got a question on is your philosophy on, like, leasing, or not leasing, buying cars. You had talked about that.
Okay. Well, the thing about buying cars is cool. I always tell people about paying cars off, right? You know, I used to be like, hey, I bought this car cash. I paid it off cash. And, man, you know, I feel good. I don't have a car note, right? So if I had, let's say, $40,000 a day, for my $40,000 a day, the last thing I would be thinking about is paying off a car cash, right? Mm-hmm. The $40,000 I would take today, because if you buy a $40,000 car today and you pay for it cash, in 5 years, how much you think that car is going to be worth?
Not $40,000.
Right. You're lucky if you get 20. Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So $40,000 is but if I had invested $40,000, and let's say if I earned, I don't know, 8% a year, the S&P 500 or whatever, how much would that be? You know, I don't have the exact math on me now, but I would say just a quick guesstimate number, it'd probably be worth 50, if not more. Right. Yeah. So, you know, I like to put my money into things that actually grow versus mm-hmm. things that
depreciate. Absolutely.
So I did it when I was young. I was like, oh, man, I paid off my car cash. I ain't got no car note. Boom, I'm the man. 20 grand out the house. I ain't got to work. Okay, cool. Now, guess what happened? I'm always going to need a car to ride in throughout my life, at least a vehicle ride in.
Yep.
As soon as I have a car accident, guess what? My 20 grand's gone.
Gone.
Right?
Gone.
I'm only one, the transmission blow, the engine blow or whatever. I'm only one incident away from being right back or being worse off than I was before.
That actually just happened to my son.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Pay it off, good to go. Driving down the road, God forbid, get into some type of accident or some type of mechanical issue happen, and then boom, you're back to square one. Versus if you sit back and put that money somewhere that got a simple 8%, right? Say, let's take the S&P 500. That's the benchmark to finance. If I got 8% a year, how much would that cost? You know, how much would I make then?
Exactly.
So that's my outlook. That's my philosophy on, no, I wouldn't, I'm not crazy on buying a car.
That's
if you
good.
Got a crazy situation, then no, that's totally different.
That's good. I had another question. How do you feel like, as a parent, you should introduce these financial literacy books to your children? Mm-hmm. Basically, from what age to start, and kind of like how, and is there a little different when you're approaching maybe preteens versus younger children and maybe teenagers?
Okay, well, I will say by reading the books to them is the first step, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think every child should start off from the time they're born. From the time they're born, they should have, you know, you should be investing for them, right? And the reason I say that is because as soon as they get a Social Security number, you can open up an investment account for them. I would start off, you're not an investor, you're not anything like that, start off with the S&P 500, right? You get the S&P 500, you start off that as a kid. Once the child becomes of age, you start to look at things. You only have three ways to invest. Let me jog my memory back. You only have three ways to invest. Either you're going to invest into real estate, stocks, or real estate, stocks, or a business, right? Mm-hmm. Business costs a little bit more, you know, to get into. If you want to start a business, in most cases, you probably need a couple $1,000s for most businesses. Now you look at getting into real estate. Getting into real estate, you need a couple $1,000s probably to get into real estate. But stocks, you can start with something as little as 50 or 100 bucks.
Oh, wow.
So I always tell people, start with stocks first, right? Mm-hmm. And then you build yourself up to real estate, then build yourself up to business. So you start off with stocks, and when the kid becomes of age, you start to tell them, like, hey, you know, the PlayStation that you're playing is actually made by a company called Sony. And you can invest in companies like Sony. And Sony pays a dividend. Oh, you like to go to McDonald's? Well, you know, you can invest into McDonald's. And McDonald's does this. You know, you can start explaining those simple topics on things they use and enjoy and like every day. That's something that we did in the first book almost a decade ago.
Definitely.
That's what was even cool of financial literacy. Mm-hmm. But start the kids off once they get of an age of what they're buying, what they enjoy, their phone or whatever, and say, hey, you can invest into these companies to actually earn money. So that's what I would start them off as. And then also, too, we have a cartoon as well.
Okay.
We have a cartoon as well, animation that's online. It's not the best in the world, animation, but, hey, it's the animation that's out there walking around.
Thank you.
And that's our approach and attack for special needs children, because Wesley is actually an autistic child.
Oh, okay.
So with him, by him getting a book and trying to read a book all by itself, he may look at this bunch of words, but if you watch the animation, he comprehends the material a whole lot better.
Thank you.
So as soon as you become of age, you need to, as soon as they have a Social Security number, hey, now if you're blessed enough to go out there and put their name on a business, go ahead. If you're blessed enough to go out into real estate, go ahead. And in this fourth book, Wesley learns about real estate. That's exactly what we're talking about with real estate. When people think of real estate, if I ask you guys what's real estate is, what is real estate? How can I invest in the real estate for a child? What would you say? What are some ways?
Rental income, rental properties.
Rental properties. What else?
Like groups, like investment groups for like active duty, passive income. Like they got like their whole group and stuff like that. Or you could like...
That's another one.
Yeah.
What else?
What was the question? I missed the question.
Invest in real estate.
Real estate. Like,
oh, okay.
What are some examples for real estate for a child?
You tax liens.
A little child investing in real estate. Tax liens, yeah. That's another one.
I know
and
nothing.
This is what the fourth... This is
I'm
what
listening.
The fourth book,
my ears are open.
This is what the fourth book talks to. Y'all thought I was going to be interviewing me, but that's actually interviewing y'all. I know that, didn't you?
So, that's a good thing.
This is what the fourth book... The fourth book on that touches on is that you should take real estate, you know. In the first book, he got stocks and he learned about his credit. His dad helped him build his credit because his dad assigned him as a user on his account.
Mm-hmm.
But a thing that nobody thinks about that you can get your child into is buying land for a child.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Hold that thought.
So think about it.
Mr. Dex, hold that
you
thought.
You guys will.
Hold that one again? Thought. Hold that thought, Mr. Dex. You listen to the Truck Driver Talking Trash Show, WICC 600 AM, 107.3 FM. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Mr. Dice. Go back to your thoughts.
Okay. So the thing about it is you have to tell people real estate, when people think of real estate, they think of what is on top of the land. but nobody looks at the land. So, and when you look at the land, you have to look at the land that's in your area, because you know, you guys are in the Northeast, and the Northeast land is more expensive. You could buy your child a plot of land in Mississippi. You can buy a plot of land in Georgia, South Carolina, places where land is pretty cheap.
So you don't necessarily have to live there? So you don't necessarily have to live there?
No.
Okay. Sorry for interrupting. I just want to kind of talk with you.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
And it's what I had done for Wesley in real life. One of his birthdays, purchased land for him, right? And it's a way to diversify away from just saying particular stocks. And the child has land. And I haven't heard one story yet, unless it was a sinkhole or something crazy. Most people that have land, I've never seen anybody who held a piece of real estate for a decade and lost.
Wow.
I never heard of it, right?
Mr.
So,
Dates,
hey, if you buy... Yes, sir.
I got a question for you. You said a plot. Mm-hmm. Now, roughly, most of that's down south, in the south, buying plots of land.
Depending on where you're at, if you go to Mississippi, you can get yourself an acre of land for $1,000, $2,000, $3,000.
Yeah, Mississippi's cheap, you know, and Louisiana. I know both of them are cheap.
Louisiana, Arizona. See, people think about it, you know, on the Northeast. You guys out of, what city y'all out of?
Connecticut. Don't think about it.
Connecticut, right?
Don't only think about buying land in Connecticut.
Yeah, you know, you think about Connecticut, right? The Northeast people, they think like, oh, man, you know, up in New York, you know, land is scarce, right?
Yes.
But I'm like, hey, look at Georgia. Once you get outside of Atlanta, it's nothing but free land. Take Denver. You get outside of Denver, it's just nothing but wide open land. Look at the middle of America, Kansas, South Dakota, North Dakota, where it's just pure flat land that's out there, right? Tennessee, you get outside of Memphis and, you know, Knoxville, you know, you're going to see nothing but open land. So you can go online and look for land for sale. While we're talking now, you can Google land for sale in Florida, land for sale in South Carolina.
One of the sites I use is Land Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it just shows me properties and stuff like that. I look in like Joshua Tree, California, and stuff like that. Because there's a lot of vacation spots. You could put like a little Airbnb, Boxable, something like that.
Or here's the thing. If you just left it there, didn't do anything with it, you have to pay property tax. Let's say if you took $5,000 and like, hey, it's little Timmy's birthday or turns 10 years old, we're going to buy him a little plot of land. You give him this plot of land, and if he just sat there and did nothing, the value of the land is going to go up. Inflation cannot go up without land prices going up. Oh. How can the price of the house go up without the land go up? And if people looked at the value of their house, you can look at the value of anybody's house on the tax assessor's website. And when you look at the value of everybody's house, it also has the value of the land on the house, too.
Oh, wow. That's good to know.
And there's things like mineral rights.
The tax assessor's, you could go on the tax assessor's website, look up my address, and you can see how much the house is worth, and you can see how much the land is worth. Some people say, oh, my house is worth a $500,000. That's not, when you really look at it, your house is nothing but sheetrock and wood. We can put up sheetrock and wood. So my whole house burnt down, they can build another one tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize the most valuable asset is the land.
And water.
That plot. And that water. That plot of land. How much is that plot worth? People always look, oh, my house is not worth this. What a value that land is going up to. So... that's something you can look on, go to any tax assessor's website, and you can find land. You can see the value of the land, you know, all those type of things. So that's just something you can diversify a child into to say, hey, we're not all just stuck in the stocks. But, hey, let me just get you a little plot of land. And within 10 years, they could live on it. They can sell it. They can use it as collateral, right? They can grow something on it and sell it. They go drive the RV on it and live on it if they need to, but it's another way that something that nobody thinks about when they think about real estate, and that's what our fourth book tackles.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
All right, Mr. Day, we have another question for you. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about life insurance?
Life insurance is a must, remember? And it's the fastest way to transfer it's the fastest way to transfer wealth. It's a simple and fast way to transfer wealth. And the third book was Wesley Learns About Insurance. And that was the concept we talked about in that book, was getting life insurance to protect assets and have those assets go down, be passed down. So that's the first thing I was looking at with insurance. So insurance is a must. Also, it can be used as an investment vehicle with whole life and IULs. If you own a business, get an insurance on key people in your business or your business partners is definitely a smart way to go. But you can have insurance that have, which is going to hold on the conversation, that has living benefits as well, to where it could be very advantageous to the people who go out and purchase it.
Well, that's good to know.
Mr. Dykes, man, you gave us a world of information. I hope my listeners listen and hope they can use some of that, you know, because a lot of us, I know I never thought about buying no land for my children. Now I feel bad as a parent.
No, listen, information, knowledge is power, baby. Knowledge is power.
I feel bad.
When you know better, you do better.
That's it.
That's why I'm a reader. I love to read. I love to learn. You have to. Well, it's must.
I know. I already know three places I'm looking at: Iowa, Louisiana, and Mississippi.
Oh, you're thinking about the land buying?
Oh yes, it's cheap. Go ahead, Shelly.
Oh yeah.
And Mr. Dykes, what do you think about international land, like places like Jamaica and stuff like that?
Well, just thinking about maybe it's my ignorance, and please excuse it if it is ignorance. But see, overseas, I'm a little bit weary of. I never done it. I looked into it, but I'm a little weary of it because that government is not like our government, right? In America, you own something. As long as you pay the taxes on it, it's yours, right? Versus if you buy some land, let's say China, and you don't, you buy some land in China, I don't know what type of rules they got. The government might come in and just take it for whatever reason or what's going on, or hey, we needed this. So I'm not as well versed with investing. I'm not as crazy about investing overseas because you run into political risk. But you got to understand the government, where's their policy and stuff like that. Eventually, I probably will, but before I run overseas, there's plenty of land over here right next to me that I can go and get, where I understand what's going on. Well, versus if I go overseas to certain countries, I don't know how the political landscape is set up.
Well, Mr. Dykes, listen, I want to thank you for coming to our show, our new show. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy day, especially in the evening. I think we're 2 hours, 2 hour difference.
Yes, we are.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Truck Driver Truck and Trash Show at WICC 600. Mr. Dykes. Can I get a round of applause for Mr. Dykes? Please, Mr. Dykes. Thank you, Mr. Dykes.
We appreciate you. We look forward to talking to you again.
Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. See you next Monday.
Have a good night.